Hey, for the record, my name is Greg Blackwell. This is the meeting of the Strategic Planning and Finance Committee on July 16th, 2014. And it is commencing at 6:31 p.m. We have five members present. Those that are absent are Jeff Hitala and Thomas Brown. Okay, so welcome back, everybody.
Hey there.
I'll go ahead and go to agenda item number two for citizen comments, communications. We're going to open citizen communications. We don't have any citizens present, so I'll go ahead and close citizen communications. Item three is discussion about the LSRD commuter rail. We did a lot of work on that in previous meetings, and I just kind of wanted to touch base on that again and see kind of where the city was in relation to that. I know what I heard in the last city council meeting, or the one right after we had all that discussion, but short of that, I'm not sure where we are. So I was wondering if, Pervez, if you would share what you know.
Certainly. At the last council meeting, city council directed staff to come back to council after completing two tasks. One was they were interested in looking at the possibility of a rail station downtown somewhere, and they directed staff to look into those that option, perhaps talk to property owners in the area and see if that is feasible. At the same time, they also asked us to talk to Plum Creek developer to see if they would be participating in any contribution toward a future rail station. And part of that council action item was that staff was to come back before January 1st, so that would mean the second or the last meeting in December of 2014 to respond to those specific assignments from council. Since that time, staff has met with Plum Creek developer as well as a citizen by the name of Pat Patton, who represents, at least he says that he represents a good number of property owners along 81, I-35 frontage. The meeting with Mr. Patton led staff to believe that, one, he is not willing to contribute any financial monies or real estate towards participating in the downtown location. We don't know, we as a staff, we do not know to what extent he represents other owners. We have not seen any agreement, any contracts, any memorandum of understandings, because he himself does not own the frontage or the 81 corridor.
He's just a realtor, from what I understand.
I don't know his background. He's spoken before city council on a number of occasions on that specific item. He was at the workshop that was held at Lehman High School. He spoke before council about looking into a downtown location. On the other hand,
just to clarify, to either station, he wasn't really willing to contribute money or property.
Definitely
either
not
the Plum Creek.
Plum Creek.
Okay.
He implied that he would be willing to, but when we sat down with him, we could not nail him down as to what property he owns, to what extent he would be willing to participate financially or indirectly with real estate participation. So we were not able to reach any sort of conclusion. We have not given up on that. We will follow up with him, I think, one more meeting to specifically ask for which properties he represents and to what extent, clearly state to the city yes or no in terms of contributions. the meeting with Plum Creek folks went really well. They have always, all along, they've been interested in doing a rail station by the ACC campus. They are willing to participate financially, but to what extent, they have not given us that indication yet, clearly. At one point, they even talked about, as part of the development agreement of Plum Creek, the city of Kyle has received approximately 23 acres of land for public use within Plum Creek development. So at one, during one of the discussions with Plum Creek, they alluded to that if they gave us any property on the ACC side, that they would deduct it from the 23 acres. So really, there's not a net gain to the city, it's a net loss to the city. So we were trying to get over that aspect where it should be in addition to whatever the city already has.
What is that acreage going to be used for?
It is for public use only, such as a police station, a library, a city hall annex of that nature. You cannot have a dump station, a trash collection, recycling station, a hazardous waste control station. So they specifically say in the agreement what it can be and cannot be, and has to be pre-approved by Plum Creek's architectural committee before we can do it.
Has it been decided how much acreage we needed to kind of
Yes, we've talked to Lone Star Rail to get a kind of range of what exactly is a rail station. Is it just a platform? Because we've talked about a concrete platform all the way to a building.
Parking,
right. Mm-hmm. So they have given us a range of 4 to 6 acres is what they're looking for, a site. And that 4 to 6 acres is usable acreage, not, you know, you have to set aside for right of way or drainage or that kind of stuff, where they can actually have footprint, 4 to 6 acres. Plum Creek seems to be interested because it that does help their development extensively and significantly. So they're willing to, they're at the table with us. They have not said no. So what the city is looking for is not only just land, but we're also looking for, since it helps the development community, that they also participate in the cost of the rail station, running the rail station, such as custodial services, security. Since it's going to be part of their community anyway, mm-hmm. Why not have your landscape people take care of the landscape? Why don't your parks people take care of the custodial services? Things like that. Because that's one of the conditions that Lone Star has.
Yeah, they push that
onto the city.
So, I'm sorry if I'm cutting you off or anything, but there wasn't an official agreement made between the city and LSRD, was there? There wasn't anything inked?
No.
Let me ask you this. Do these two possibility stops predicate a yes or no for
the city to go forward with?
With the one stop we already agreed on, or
well, we haven't agreed.
Well, you know, well, anticipate.
Right, the one that was proposed by
the proposed one, right?
They did agree upon creating the TIS zone, right, or the TIS, I guess.
No, even that wasn't created. Okay. There was no official action taken.
We'll continue to look at it.
Yeah.
And that's what I got. I just want to make sure nothing changed between then and now.
No, we have not gone back to council. As a matter of fact, all our discussions with Lone Star has been kind of put on hold till one staff is trying to figure out which one of these two developers are going to participate
right.
to what extent.
Right.
And then secondly, most importantly, we have almost a new council. We got to go back to them and get some direction as to, okay, what do y'all want us to do? But we don't want to do that until we know what these two options have available for us.
I seriously hope they don't drag their feet too long.
Well, the cutoff for the LSRD was coming up soon, if I remember right. It was in January 2015, was it not?
Well,
for the Well, that was the first deadline that they had set?
Well, they had set, you know, to kind of push us into a decision. But it sort of kind of works out in our favor because City of Austin and City of San Marcos, they have, this month, they have to decide to what extent they're going to participate, the percentage.
Oh, I see.
In property tax and sales tax. So that will kind of give us an edge as to, okay, what other cities are doing. That's in their contract. They must decide by end of July.
Okay.
So that will happen. We will at least have some indication from the two developers who is willing to participate before we go back to council for direction.
Yeah. I mean, my concern is that if it's December, that staff is going back to council, that there's not enough, there might not be enough time in between to do the proper things.
Jerry Hendricks, who is Mr. Lambert's chief of staff, he's kind of the point person on this project for the city. And I was talking to him last week. He indicated to me that his goal is to get council's direction as soon as they're wrapped up with the budget. So
okay.
That would be first week of September.
Yeah. Okay.
He thinks there's just too much going on with the budget and
yeah.
rates. Council is kind of distracted with that.
Okay. I guess I want this to be on council's mind as well when they are doing
right.
budget. So I hope that it's already in their minds, but
I don't think that because we still have Mayor Pro Tem Herval, Councilmember Lemans, Councilmember Wilson. You know, they've been
working
prior discussions. I don't know much about Mr. Patton. When he spoke before council on a couple of occasions, at least he gave council the impression that he owns quite a bit of property.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Seems that we could do a search.
What we wanted him to do was show us a memorandum of understanding, or at least that he has some kind of cooperative agreement with the property owners if he doesn't own.
Right. It's my understanding. I've had a few conversations with him outside of the city business as well, and you know, he's a real estate agent, so
okay.
he might be some type of ownership group that might own some of this land right out here.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but I know he's a real estate agent, and I was under the impression that he was just representing those owners, but I could be wrong. I'm just kind of give you guys an idea.
Okay.
Of who he is, so.
What's the thought process on having a station here downtown versus where our growth has been?
All along, as I understand it, the Plum Creek area was identified for their rail station. Towards the end of the discussion, Mr. Patton brought that up to council's attention that perhaps you ought to look at downtown as a station. Now, Lone Star has made it very clear we don't have the population or the traffic to have two stations. So it's one or the other. If we build a downtown station, one, land I think is going to be a problem to get 6 acres for a station. And then how do you get the ACC traffic to ACC from here? So if your shopping center is over there, your business corridor is over there, commercial corridor is over there. So that has to be worked out.
I think years down the road it might be kind of nice to have this historic site put to use over here as a rail station. I don't know if that's even possible.
Oh, the train depot?
Yeah.
To me.
Maybe that's years down the road. And
I silently thought about that.
What's that?
I silently thought about that. Because that makes sense. I mean, it is a train depot.
Yeah.
Why not use that?
Mm-hmm.
Parking
would be.
You're going to invest $1 million in renovations by the time we get done with it. Now, parking, yes. So that's where we are on the Lone Star project.
Okay. So just to recap, we're basically, as far as agreement, there's no agreement, so we're no further there. the staff is looking into
options for rail station location and developer participation.
Okay.
So I just want to be clear. This, either Plum Creek or downtown, would be in lieu of the originally proposed location?
No.
It would be in addition to?
The originally proposed location is part of Plum Creek.
Yes, yeah. By ACC.
That Plum Creek owns all that.
Okay. All right, I thought it was going to be like more Plum Creek proper. Mm-hmm. No, mm-hmm. Okay.
They actually have already built a tunnel under 1626. 1626. Under it. So all they have to do is remove the two caps where the residents from Plum Creek can actually walk under the highway to go to either ACC or the catch
really?
The train. Yeah.
Wow. What?
So it was pre-planned.
Where's this at?
That's the one.
It's under the highway already.
Under 1626?
There's a tunnel.
I had no idea.
It's not open. It's not open.
Yeah,
it's not even above ground. I mean,
I'll go find it tonight.
The opening is probably not even open. They're probably still underground.
Yeah, it's not open. You can't get in. But all they have to do is open the ends.
Right.
It's available.
Interesting.
So it has all along been planned for the two sites to, you know, for people to walk and do their shopping, going to school. That kind of stuff.
Okay, interesting.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any more questions?
No.
Comments? No? Okay, thank you, Pervez. We move on to item 4. It's time for the annual review of the, or by council rather, for the city's investment policy. And as far as that goes, item 5 is it's also time to review the city's debt management policy and make any recommendations of changes to council. I reread them and I didn't see anything that looked like it needed to change. Perez, do you have any suggestions?
I've provided you all a copy of both policies, and Mr. Chairman, if it's okay with you, we can take both items together.
Yeah, please, let's do that.
Both of these policies were fairly recently implemented, especially debt management policy. They're very current, they're modern, they comply with state law, and they also comply with the City Council's direction to staff. I, as the Director of Finance for the City of Kyle, it is my opinion and my recommendation to Council, as well as this committee, that the policies, both policies, are sufficient, adequate. They do not require an update from my perspective, and that Council, during the budget process, reaffirm both policies as is. Since the policies are adopted by ordinance, debt management policy was adopted by ordinance, and I believe the investment policy was adopted by a resolution. Mm-hmm. And they specifically say that there will be an annual review, and if there is any update necessary, that it'll be addressed each year. At this time, both of those policies are adequate. They just need to be reaffirmed by City Council. And I'm going to recommend to Council during the budget deliberations that we do that.
Is there any discussion regarding?
I know in one of our previous meetings we had talked about setting up a reserve fund for the city.
The emergency reserve fund?
How are we doing on that goal?
The debt management policy requires that we set aside a emergency reserve fund. We created that a year ago as part of the budget process. We made the first deposit in that fund of $300,000 in fiscal year 12-13. This fiscal year that we're in is our second year of that plan, and we are transferring $450,000. So by the end of this September, we'll have $750,000 set aside for an emergency reserve fund in compliance with the policy.
Is that a moving figure? Does that need to be? I mean, as the city continues to grow, I imagine that needs to be increased somehow.
The policy says that that reserve fund should be equal to 90% of our general fund operating requirements. So 90 days, which is 3 months, if you look at the general fund expenditures, it's about $3.6 million. And the policy says that within a 10-year time frame, we ought to have that balance available to the city. If not, then you should have a ramp-up formula to get to it. Because we've had property tax rate increases in the last 3 years, we couldn't ramp up too much. Because it's a reserve fund, we don't need it immediately. We thought that we would not make it a financial burden to our citizens, that we would slowly get there. So by the end of this year, we should have $750,000 in that fund. Next year, we're proposing that we set aside $500,000, add $500,000 to it. So it'll be 1.2 next September.
And I do have some more questions. So on the limitations on the city's outstanding bond and debt, we had said 6%. Total gross bonded debt payable from the general fund of the city will not exceed 6% of the assessed valuation. Do you know about where we are?
The last time I looked for compliance, which was September 30th of 2013 for fiscal year end compliance, we, of all the requirements, we were in full compliance. You'll see that there is a section that requires 40% up front. I think it's in section. It's on page 3 of 7 towards the bottom. Yep. The 40% limit, we're far below that. The 6%, the next threshold is limitation on outstanding debt, which was 6%. And we were around 3.07 at that time. Since then, we've added the engineering bond for the roads. So I have not done one recently, but I'm confident that we're in compliance with all of the
thresholds. Revenue growth over
yes.
The
year. Mm-hmm. And it is also tied to our tax base, property tax base. So that has increased each year. So we're in good position as far as compliance with the policy. I don't know if that answered your question.
No, that did. I mean, I was just curious. We set those guidelines. I was just curious.
If anybody
one, when we were creating this debt policy, you know, we were worried that we might be getting close. And I think before you reissued some of those bonds, I believe we might have actually hit that figure. One
correct.
Of those figures, correct?
Yeah. The CEO contractual obligation certificates, we had reached almost that ceiling. But by
2016, I think.
We were, by refinancing and moving some of our debt into GO debt, we were able to do.
That's all I have.
Anyone else? No. I'd like to go ahead and make a motion then to recommend to City Council that the city's investment policy be reapproved, I suppose. Well, in fact, both of them. So the city's, I'd like to make a motion that the city's investment policy and the city's debt management policy both be reapproved by City Council. To City Council.
A second.
Okay, so the motion is made by Greg and seconded by Janine. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay. So the motion carries. I'm sorry. There wasn't any discussion. I probably should have asked for discussion earlier, but no discussion? No? Okay. Great. Supervisor, if you can relay that, or I'll send a...
Like you normally do, if you would send me a memo to council, I'll forward that, and I will also make that a part of the documentation for the budget process.
I will do that. Okay.
Item number six is the update by Pervez on the establishing the irrevocable trust fund and related investment management services associated with the city's other post-employment benefit plan.
In our last quarterly meeting, we talked about the evaluation of the other post-employment benefit plan that the city had, that we had, the city of Kyle had never done an actuarial evaluation of that liability that the city had, and that we were going forward with a contract to city council for conducting that evaluation by a professional firm. Since that time, we completed that. A report has been issued by the independent firm of Dean Actuarial Services out of Dallas, Texas. They issued a report. However, part of the finding of that report was they went through the entire process of assessing the financial liability or obligation the city currently has and what future liabilities we will have over a 10-year period. However, the finding they had was that the accounting standards, GASB or Governmental Accounting Standard Board's pronouncement number 45 specifically states that any municipality or state government or county government that has other post-employment benefit plan, other than pension, and these are mostly medical. You'll recall that we have three groups, group A, 1, 2, and 3. Group 3 doesn't get anything. Group 2 gets $300 if they are eligible after they retire towards medical insurance, which is adjusted by CPI each year. Group 1 gets medical insurance and vision until they hit 65. And then when they turn 65, then the city only pays for Medicare supplement. So that's basically the OPEB plan city of Kyle has. The finding was that we were internally setting aside this money in a bank account, which was within the city's control. The accounting standards require that when you do have a plan of this nature, to protect the future retirees, it needs to be in a third-party trust fund outside the control of the political subdivision or its elected officials or its staff. So what they recommended to council was, we will not give you credit for that money you have set aside until you create this irrevocable trust fund, basically guaranteeing that that money is outside of city's hands, they will not touch.
Is that a problem?
No, it's not a problem.
Okay.
So we can't just go out and open a trust fund. We have to get city council's approval. So they gave us approval. We are currently going through an RFP process. You should have this RFP in your package. Mm-hmm. It basically calls for a independent third party to establish a trust fund, which has to be irrevocable in nature. It also calls for investment management services. They invest that money for us. And also two...
7 o'clock on July...
and I have no control over that speaker.
I'm going to go ahead and call this.
Also to have control over disbursements of those funds, because once it leaves us, we cannot touch it. So we have only one retiree that the city pays about roughly $4,500 a year towards his health insurance premium. So this trust fund, we will transfer all the money that we have set aside, which is about $530,000. It will go in that fund. Then the annual contributions from the city, which will be around $130,000 to $150,000 a year, will go each year to this fund. The trust manager will invest it for us, will provide reports to city council, and will make any disbursements out of that fund for insurance premiums or what have you from that. So that's the nature of this RFP.
How much do their services cost?
We don't know yet. We have specifically asked in the RFP that they label clearly identify what their fee structure will be.
So
that also depends how we evaluate or select that trustee.
We're finished. If someone wants to.
This RFP closes on. On July 22nd at 10 a.m.
You might have an impression that we're going to have a public hearing.
Once we go through the evaluation, we go back to council for awarding this trust agreement. Since we have a new council, there might be more discussion as to if they want to continue with this program or not.
Trying to react.
We may or may not have this trust
once we're finished.
Interesting.
To continue with the program. Two groups that are grandfathered in, and we can't.
As long as they have not retired, the attorney is saying that if they're retired, then they're guaranteed. If they haven't retired, then it is still a proposed program.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Councilman.
A promise made that the city can change or modify.
Okay.
So legally, yes, they can. But once the trust gets hold of the money, that's it. You don't get out.
Did not apply to our animals. And I believe we.
Okay. And we don't have anybody in that that's retired off of
the first.
We have one retiree.
There were only a few. There was only a handful that qualified for that first one. They haven't retired yet, correct?
There are.
Opportunity to have our animals again.
19 individuals in group one, if they stay for 25 years, that they will become eligible. Group two has 36.
They want to have a mini.
They will become eligible if they stay 25 years.
It can also be accomplished by.
But our turnover is very high.
Like you have done by suggesting a number of feet.
I don't think you can have the entire 36 people in group two make it.
Closest an animal can be.
Or in group one.
Neighbors residents. So I think that would handle it.
That number is going to dwindle.
Right, over time.
But again, I just wanted to say thank you.
So I just wanted to let y'all know where we are in the process. That it might be, again, you will hear council discussion as part of the budget or as part of the trustee contract when we bring forward for council's review.
There many might of you be have emailed discussion. You, have posted support on our Facebook page.
Are there any projected, I mean, obviously we don't have anything back. Maybe we don't want to talk about
that. So I think it'll make a lot of people
projected
happy.
Cost.
For managing the trust fund.
We'll wait until the proposals come
in.
Yeah, we won't.
And also make our place cross plants and produce.
There are some trustees that actually utilize the money. They can only invest it in certain areas. They have to be safe. They just can't go out and gamble it.
Mm-hmm.
But they get a portion of that. As part of their operations. But each one's done differently. A lot of cities have really messed up on that, and people want to make sure we do that right.
And we say in the RFP that they have to comply with the state statutes for public funds.
Right.
So they cannot invest in risky investments.
Right.
Is this to prevent another Enron thing? Is that what it's?
Yes.
That's the purpose, yeah.
Yes.
Is there
some police officers in one city? I think the trust somehow they were able to leak some of the money back into the city, so they lost benefits and such. And so, what it sounds like with this Dallas firm is going with what a lot of government is pushing for is that to make sure that it doesn't leak back to guarantee.
It's guaranteed funds.
Yeah. Okay.
The issue of miniature animals.
It used to be prior to this accounting standard that came about. Prior to that, most cities were paying as they went. So pay-as-you-go program was, if you had two retirees and their premium was due, you only budgeted for those two employees' premium and you paid it at the end of the year. This policy now says that if you have a program, you got this many people, you got to figure out based on their mortality, their age, their health condition, what the future obligations are for that promise you've made, and set aside that money each year.
I'm just curious, is there a way that the city can reap any benefits of the, like the interest?
Investments?
Yeah, from, no.
It
okay.
goes back into the trust.
All right, so. No, I was just wondering.
Chickens for over a year now. That is
very yeah, invested, so that'll limit the liability of the city.
The city gets credit for it.
What does it take to actually get okay. action?
Any other questions?
If you don't want something like this, so we don't have to have.
Okay.
Thank you, Provost. Our next item is that we have a meeting on Wednesday, October 15th, 2014. Should be at 6:30 p.m. I would imagine here in this room. That'll be finalized as it gets closer. And then item 8 is to adjourn.
At the next meeting,
okay.
Yes, please. If it's okay. We should have a lot of interesting information to share. Budget would have been adopted by that time. We would have some good indication on Lone Star where we're headed in terms of council direction. We will also know about OPEB Trust, who our trustee is, if council approved that contract or not. We would have begun our audit, year-end audit for next year. So, in October, we should be able to share with you a great deal of information.
Yeah, this is really becoming the busy season.
Right.
For the finance guys. Since Provez brought up the budget, I'd just like to encourage you, once those budget meetings start happening and are posted, attend the ones that you can. I mean, I was able to attend many last year. It really just kind of brought to light a lot of our spending. I don't say habits necessarily,
really
but
for it.
Where our money's
it
going.
It served a very definite so. Purpose. I also think that sometimes
sort of that
consequences come out of certain legislation.
Y'all ready to go?
Legislation.
I'm not used to such a short meeting.
I think he's looking for a motion to.
Do I hear a motion?
Yeah, you hear a motion to adjourn.
A motion to adjourn?
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. All right. Thank you. See you next time.